Open lines here. Another hour to go on Coast to Coast AM. You heard that story I had at the top of the hour when we started the program. Cab driver finds $187,000 in cash in the back seat of his car. Somebody forgot it. How do you forget that? But they only gave him a $100 tip. That's it. My God, give the guy $5,000 or something like that. I mean, he really did yeoman's work. Oh, well, that happens. We'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, and we're going to have open lines for you on Friday, but the Friday night open lines take a different kind of a twist, as you well know. And then on my program tomorrow, a couple guests, William Engdahl is back with us, and we're going to talk about what's going on around the world through his eyes, and then we're going to talk about archangels with Belinda Womack. I'm looking forward to that. Joshua P. Warren's going to be with us Friday night for a couple hours, talking about an incredible UFO story, and then we'll have those strange open lines. But let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you this hour, and this hour is going to go by very fast. Fred is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, George, you've got the right profession. You've got a very clear, young voice for someone that's telling us that you saw Gunsmoke's original episode.
That's true. That's true. Now,
I go back before black and white television of Howdy Doody. Here's what I'm wanting to bring up. You helped prove my point earlier when the gentleman called in about Jupiter, because it's not a few million, it's 2 billion miles. And technologically, we had to turn that satellite that has a photocell, they get 4% of the sun, we do. The photocell's as big as a darn football field on that thing.
Oh, my God.
So
that's huge.
Yeah,
how'd they get it up there?
I'm wanting to talk about the gentleman that called in about the Situation Room.
Yes.
And the reason is, that just proved my point. Technologically, we've split the atom. We can destroy mankind.
Yes, we can.
Emotionally, we haven't kept up. In other words, you know, we'll still fight.
Yeah.
So we got a problem. I mean, back when I was in school, we hid under the desk. They had the doomsday clock. Everybody paid attention.
Oh, we had those bomb shelter scares and all that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big believer in the theory of contrary opinion. I don't like the fact that it's kind of, nobody seems to pay attention to our threat anymore. And I'd like to bring this up. A few days ago, it sent chills down me when Putin, with a straight face, says there's only one superpower, and it's the United States. I'm trying to figure out why in the world would he say that? Is he trying to get us to continue to, you know, relax on our defense development and keeping up with him? Because he has certainly modernized, you know, the Russian.
Sure has. And no, that was weird for him to say that.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to figure out. I'd love for somebody to call in that's got that figured out, because I'm not that wise.
And by the way, he's a very strategic thinker.
He is, and he's also, of course, super ruthless.
Yes, he is, if he has to be.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing. If I can throw one or two more things out that bother me about this.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Obama has two great talents. One is community organizer. He proved that. He got a lot of people registered, and he won. But his one of his big advisors is half Iranian. Now, he's turned to Iran, and they can have a nuclear weapon. They can't have one, say, for 10 years. Great. Now we got other countries already, Saudi Arabia and other countries in the Middle East, already scrambling to think about, well, they better make a nuclear bomb. So we're going to add more countries to the club.
Right.
And the last thing is that really bothers, well, two. One, to me, we almost had a nuclear exchange, I think, with Georgia, because a lot of people don't realize.
That was a mistake. You're right.
Yeah, it was a big mistake, because let me tell you, when you draw these country lines, it's like the Shiites and the Sunnis. One thing I'll give Joe Biden credit for, right up front, he said you can't have a unified Iraq. You got three separate groups that are never going to get along.
That's right.
Draw the lines there. So,
and the only way it worked was a dictator.
Yeah, exactly. And so a ruthless dictator. And so what's happening with Georgia is, part of Georgia had almost like 100% Russian people that the government, the guy we had riding the bicycle up New York and some way get him over there as head of the country, he sits there and sends the military in and starts persecuting and you know, torturing
not smart.
Russian people.
Yep.
And so how long did it take Putin to come flying in there?
Yeah, couple days.
So here's my point that really bothers me. NATO, who's so far behind the eight ball that a top expert, he's gone in there. Now, you know, he used cyber war and turned off the gas in Ukraine and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the cyber people, the experts gone in up there in NATO and said that they are not ready at all for cyber war. And yet they met today, all the 29 defense ministers, to implement this idiotic thing where they want to put a battalion or whatever along the front. You know, that's all we need is somebody to make a mistake at that level, because there's a couple of those countries, to Putin's credit, he has complained 88 times to the United Nations about some Russians that have been annexed into some of those countries that are not getting the rights they're supposed to have in those countries. He has not threatened military at all there.
No, but he has given warning.
But he's gone through the United Nations 88 times.
Yeah, he's done what he had to do.
And what bothers me is, you know, we don't need a tripwire at some low level. That's how you start, like, World War One.
That's how it happened.
So that's all I wanted to say is I'm concerned about this. If anybody can tell me why, I'd love to know why. You'd think Putin says there's one superpower. It's Russia. No, he says it's the United States.
Or China. But he says it says, no, you're right, Fred. That was a very strange comment. Let's go to Dave in Mobile, Alabama. Hi, David. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, George. It's an honor.
Sure thing.
I'm going to just lead off and answer his question. So the first 2 points. So Putin said that because if he Googles a video of an interview with G. Edward Griffin, it's called How to Brainwash a Nation.
Yeah.
And it is Russia's ultimate goal to bring us down in any which way. And that's an ex-KGB propaganda specialist. And the other point, this is all by design, as you know and as you cover all the time. So thank you for doing that, George.
You got it.
My open call question is the dead doctors related to GCMAF, which was Dr. Nobuto Yamamoto's mm-hmm. protein that he discovered that seems to be a cure-all or a way to reverse disease by activating your macrophage and macrophages. And an active macrophage can go and consume 15 times more than an inactive macrophage. It's kind of that simple. But there's a trail of dead doctors, starting with Dr. Bradstreet. And thank you to Erin Elizabeth.
Oh, she's the best, David.
She's amazing for having the balls to cover this and to put it out there. But we need more people. And I'll tell you what, George, you know, it's an emotional call. I lost my wife to cancer, and I sit here driving my two boys, you know, 5 years later, and I've become an active cancer researcher. And I'll tell you what, the disease is curable, but they make $1 trillion not wanting to cure it. And it's up
yep.
to us, because it affects each and every one of our families. And it's a damn shame that we won't do anything about it. We're more worried about Kim Kardashian's ass size than curing cancer.
Well, let me tell you, David, build up your immune system. That's the most important thing. Got to do it. Tom, you've got another text for us?
I sure do. From Jerry in Mount Shasta. Hey, George, what sports did you play as a kid, and do you have a favorite story about them?
I played baseball. I played football. I did not play ice hockey because I didn't know how to skate. Played a little basketball, but I really didn't like it. And did some track. But the two sports I played a lot, baseball, which I was very good at.
What position?
In second base. And people stepped on me all the time as they rounded second. But that's what I was. I was the base. No, I'm kidding, but. And then played a little football, and I'd liked that a lot. I was a halfback in football, but baseball was my sport. That's what I loved.
So do you want to know my favorite sports story about you? But it's kind of a sports story, and it's kind of...
Sports story about me?
Yeah, and it's my favorite because it's...
Who told it to you? My mother?
It's a bummer that it happened. No, you told it to me.
Which
about
one?
Your mom.
What happened?
She trashed all your sports cards.
Well, yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it a sports story.
No, that's what I was saying. Well, kind of.
But do you know what she gave me? Do you know what I found today?
Go, what?
Life Magazine, November 19, or November 29, 1963, John Kennedy on the cover.
And I'll bet you looked it up to see what it's worth.
$45.
What are you going to do with it?
I thought it was worth $4,000. And then I've got one with Jackie Onassis, but she did. She cannot find my baseball cards.
Do you know if you leave that magazine for your grandkid, how much it'll be worth?
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm going to give it to all of them. But she told me last week, she said, maybe I should check the attic to see what's up there. And I'm thinking to myself, please be there.
Could they be there?
Please be, because I didn't throw them out. She did.
You think it's possible?
Anything's possible, but probably doubtful.
Wouldn't you be surprised? She calls you and
George, I found them. I had the original Mickey Mantle baseball cards. I had comic books from way gone back, the Supermans, Archie, all of them in pristine condition. I had everything.
And she had to clean your room.
Gone.
That's sad.
Boxes and boxes of them. Oh, well. Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks for the memories, Tom. Howard in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Howard, go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Morning to you too, sir.
I had a rather conspiratorial idea to cheer you up with tonight.
All right.
You've pushed for many years to have the electrical grid protected.
Oh, yes, and I'm not going to stop.
And every time that goes to Congress, it just seems to hit a stone wall. And I can't help but be suspicious about that. It would seem to me that someone somewhere wants
this to happen.
Wants us to have us in a position of vulnerability like this.
Yep. And it doesn't make any sense. It would be one of the first things that you should fix.
Yes, it's perfectly prudent and reasonable idea, and it's from what I understand, it really doesn't cost that much.
$2 billion. It's well, well worth it.
That's peanuts in government.
Yep.
My thoughts drift over to the figures that are stated on the Georgia guidestones. You know, the 500
million worldwide.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I just wonder what you might think about that.
Well, that's an interesting possibility, that somebody doesn't want this grid insulated. I it's like insurance. Nobody really wants to have insurance. But you have to have it, and you're darn lucky if you ever have to use it because it's there. That's what this insulation of the grid is. I mean, it's only common sense that eventually a solar flare from the sun, a big one, is going to come our way and take out the grid. That's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And then a rogue nation detonates a nuke in the atmosphere to try to do something. I think the sun flares are more probable. But the other possibility is there. I mean, so for $2 billion, fix the grid. One, that's $2 billion you pump back into the economy with some jobs and working and construction for infrastructure. And two, when the bottom does fall out and this flare does hit, we're going to be the lucky one. Because try existing without electrical power for one day. No cell phones, no ATMs, can't pump gasoline, can't really drive because you don't have the gasoline. Once that runs out, you're done. No air conditioning, no heating if it's the winter, can't listen to the radio unless you got a wind-up generator. And then I'm in trouble because what happens with my power system, wherever I'm broadcasting from, it's going to be a royal mess. Let's go to Kyla in Oklahoma City. Hi, Kyla.
It's Kyle.
Kyle. Well, that's because my screener turned you into a woman.
You know what? I don't want to be turned into a woman.
No, we're not going to do that. How did he do? How did he do this? It's Kyla. K-Y-L-A. He's got it spelled up there.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I'll forgive him.
All right.
Oh. You know, there was a man on here a few weeks ago. I won't even say his name, but he said that CPAP and sleep studies are all fraud, just like any other pharmaceutical in the industry. And I'd just like to say that that is false for anyone who has stopped using their CPAP since that program. Sleep apnea is very dangerous. Are you still there?
Yeah. No, I'm listening to you.
Okay. Yeah, it's very dangerous. You know, everybody does stop breathing at some point in their sleep, but severe obstructive sleep apnea, I mean, it's a link to what killed Reggie White, the famous football player.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He is basically asphyxiated in his sleep.
A lot has to do with, what is it? It has to do with weight and also, you know, your jaw and things like that.
Yes, height and weight. Being overweight doesn't help. I worked for a doctor in Hemet, California, who would almost describe it as a birth defect in some people. Some people are born with a smaller airway. And
then it's the positioning of how you sleep as well, right?
Absolutely. If you sleep on your side, it's a little less.
Yeah.
But people with severe obstructive sleep apnea, it doesn't matter what position you're in. I mean, I've watched people. I was in the field for 15, 16 years. I still keep up my continuing education for it in case I do want to go back to it. But, I mean, I've seen people's blood oxygen level drop down to the 60s, 50s, and then they wake, there's a small arousal, and it comes back up into the 80s, 90s, and it'll fall right back down. And I mean, people stop breathing up to, you know, 100 times an hour, some people.
Well, if I were on one of those machines, I wouldn't get off it. I would do everything he said supplement-wise to try to better myself and maybe
and
wean myself off it, but I wouldn't stop taking it or using it.
No, sir. I mean, I know people that wear CPAP religiously. They'll take it on camping trips.
Yeah, and they're little portable things, right?
They do have, yeah. Yeah, they've gotten so compact now, and they've even got batteries that are, you know, you can charge and take with you on, like, even on a plane.
Are they on all the time, or do they just kick on when you stop breathing?
Well, they're on all the time, but they have these now. They're called auto set. It's an auto titrating device, which whenever you stop breathing. Like, say you're not having apnea, it stays at a lower pressure. When you start to have apnea, say you hit REM sleep, in REM sleep, your body basically is paralyzed, in a sense.
Right.
So your apnea is worse.
That's the worst way to go, I think, is to suffocate or stop breathing. I would want to go any other way except that way.
Oh, that's terrifying to think of that.
Yeah. My granddaughter's friend, they were at the Ozarks. She wasn't there. They were swimming in what was called Beaver Lake, Arkansas, and the anchor of the boat got stuck on something, so he dove in to fix it and never came back up.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable. 22-year-old kid. They just found his body yesterday.
Gone too soon.
Yep.
Wow.
Sad. But, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. Time for another one? No, but we will when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Lots of information going on there. We will be back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go to our caller, Rob, first-time caller in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, George. Nice to meet you.
You
nice
too.
To talk to you.
What got you finally to call us?
Hey, you know, I heard you talking about homelessness a night ago, and, you know, there's a really big problem up here and right around Seattle, and people are actually living underneath interstate size up here.
Oh, my God.
And they are digging underneath and undermining the infrastructure of our interstate. And there's absolutely nothing being done about it. And the leadership up here is clueless. And I quote, and you can check this. They said, "We are making this up as we go along.
Great way to govern.
How to handle this situation, and then ask for $50 million. And you know what? You know, we live in America, George. We should be able to handle this kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
And as a local government, I understand their problems. And you know what? And there's a problem also where the state says, well, they're underneath our interstate. That's a city problem. And the state says, oh, it's bad.
Are these like tunnels that they're in, or just like underneath overpasses?
Yes. They're tunnels, George.
Oh. How many are down there?
100.
My God.
And
obviously, there are no bathrooms down there, so they just go there.
I don't know if this is going on around America. If it is.
It's got to be. And how do these poor people take showers and things like that? They don't.
You know what? And the one problem that I see, George, is drugs. And people, they don't want to leave that situation. And there's a great big heroin problem in Seattle.
I would guess, Rob, that there are probably some people down there who are homeless who once had families and careers, and maybe drugs destroyed them.
Absolutely, George.
They went spinning downward.
Absolutely, George. And you know, it is so spiraled out of control up here that the local government is clueless. And their only option is to ask for more money. And, you know, if this is going across America, man, we have to do something.
Yep.
There has to be a change. And you know what? We have the FBI. We have the CIA. We have the NSA. You know, we're looking all across the world for all these problems. Can we just kind of look in and go, hey, we have to stop this.
We have to fix it.
Can we just use our, just take a tenth of a budget and just concern ourselves with what's going on?
My idea, Rob, is to call these places homeless city, and you build these towns.
George, I heard that the other night. We can't build slums, George.
No, it would be just relatively nice places. You have to put people somewhere, Rob.
It's still a label, man, friend. But there has to be, you know, this is an epidemic.
It is. You can't euthanize all these people. My friend,
we have to call this America's Dirty Little Secret.
Yep. You're right about that.
My call tonight.
Keep plugging away, my friend. Keep plugging away. I think that might be worthy of a whole show. It is unbelievable. I mean, I see some homeless people in L.A. all the time. I see lots of them in Boulder, Colorado. I mean, my God, there's lots of them there. Not as many in St. Louis as you would think. Tom, you've got my final text. What do you have back there?
I do have to tell you first, and then I'll let it go. Your Mickey Mantle is worth $71,000. You need to talk to your mom.
And I probably had duplicates.
Oh, no. This is from Casey in Fort Worth, Texas. I think you told us earlier in the program, but I missed it. What's your take on the announcement from James Comey? This is such a conspiracy. What do you think?
Oh, look, I got to tell you, I do not endorse presidential candidates. So whatever I say, I'm saying it because this is the way I see it. There's no favoritism in what I say. I do not believe that sending out emails on an unprotected server was criminal. I think it's stupid. I think it's idiotic. I think if you're going to vote for her as president, you need to look at some of her actions. But I don't think it's jailable. She may have done some other things in her career that might be jailable, but I don't think sending out emails were. It's just very stupid. There was not a secured server. Anybody could have hacked into it. somebody could have hacked into it. Yeah. Maybe somebody did hack into it. But I don't think you go to prison for stuff like that.
And so, I think that's the message he was giving.
And that's the message he was giving. I mean, it will come across as being a political move. But you know what? Since the get-go, when this story came out, I kept saying, look, they're emails. It's not like she, at least this point, sold classified information to the Chinese and put it on her internet to do that. That wasn't the case at all.
But the question is, do you think the meeting on the tarmac had anything to do with it?
Between Bill and the and
Loretta,
Rich?
Yeah.
It probably didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Probably didn't hurt. Okay, let's take some more calls here. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Thank you, George. I still have a little bit of laryngitis, so you might need to turn me up a little bit. In regard to insulating the power grid, I do agree with you, and I would like for you to find a lawyer for everybody, especially people who depend on electricity for medical devices, and everybody else. I mean, the general public, we need to file a huge class action suit against the power companies collectively for reckless endangerment and for terrorism, terrorizing people with an inadequate power supply, and we need to seek damages for not only emotional trauma, but damages to get our own backup systems and make them pay for it.
Gosh, I don't know if we could find a law firm, Annie, that would want to take that on. Of course, they'd take one-third of the booty, but that would be one big, big case. And these electrical companies, they're not cheap. They've got their own lawyers, and they would fight this to the end. We got to get legislation passed. We've got to get people like John McCain interested in this and get this done. And, you know, we'll keep pushing away. Peter Pry, who heads up an agency that is trying to get this done, is on our side. And we're going to keep battling that way. We're not going to give up. And hopefully we'll get it done. And look, the word is out since we've been talking about it over the past couple of years. Let's go to Justin in Roanoke, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Justin, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. How are you?
Hi there.
I'd like to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence. And,
all right.
Basically, I used to believe that artificial intelligence, you know, could be possible, that we could, you know, live with the artificial intelligence and it would be all hunky-dory. But I've been working on a little bit of artificial intelligence for the past 2 years, and I'm not convinced. So, basically the artificial intelligence I've been working on is nothing big, just stuff for video games. I'm not a video game developer. But essentially, with artificial intelligence, you give the artificial AI, or you give the AI inputs, outputs, and a goal. And that's the core of every artificial intelligence, from what I do to what Google does.
So they'll be driving cars, though, and all kinds of things.
That's true. And their ability to drive cars is impressive. That is actually hand-programmed AI, though. And there's a little bit of a difference. But hand-programmed AI is perfectly safe. I definitely endorse that kind of stuff.
Do you think we should continue on the AI path that we're going?
I actually do not, because even it's only a matter of powerful computers. If you have a powerful enough computer, I was talking about inputs, outputs, and goals. If you say, here's your inputs, you have a screen, and you can view whatever you want on the screen. You also have the internet. Your outputs are going to be a keyboard and a mouse, and your goal is to buy stamps. Eventually, the AI could figure out how to go on eBay and buy stamps, but it could also figure out how to rent a printer and then start printing its own stamps and having them mailed to the owner. And then eventually, it could build up the ability to start a business, make money, start cutting down trees, start eventually getting at the point to where it's enslaving people and using their carbon base as a stamp material.
That could happen.
Crazy.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, all the things of sci-fi that you think are going to do that, but that's very, very possible. Let's go to Don in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hello, Don. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Dury.
Sure thing.
first time I've called, and I've been listening to this show for, gosh, probably over 10, 15 years.
Wow, thank you.
But I got kind of something that's a little different from what you were talking to tonight, but okay. I like the way you've taken the direction of the show, and tonight was great. What I want to tell you is just a kind of a paranormal story.
What happened?
When I was 11 years old, my room lit up really bright, and I woke up, and my grandfather was sitting in the rocking chair that was in my bedroom, and he was all white, just totally like light shining out of him. And I was like, when did you get here? Because, you know, they'd come to visit. And I was like, when did you get here? And he goes, well, I'm not really here. I'm just here to tell you that everything's all right. and don't worry about anything.
A little message from the other side.
From the other side. And then the phone rang, and it was really late at night, like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. My dad answered the phone, and he had just passed away.
Wow.
And, I mean, this is totally true.
That was his way of communicating with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 63 now, and I will never forget that.
Those things will go on forever, Don. They really will. Hey, I wanna end tonight with just a little upbeat thing. I want you to laugh a little bit about a guy who was late for a meeting going into work, and he left a message on his boss's answering machine. Listen in on this.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knees. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman who looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked this Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still, oh, pieces of him. okay, he's up on the The little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him and she's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
I I love that clip. I just love it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.